invite our guest speaker up for today. We are in a series on the Ten Commandments. Have you guys learned something? It's been so inspirational just seeing into God's heart about the fact that God wants us free and He wants us alive. And He did it by giving us instructions. One of the ways He did it, by giving us instructions. So we have with us Pastor Roger Pierce, who's going to be doing the Ninth Commandment with us. Pastor Roger has been leading Every Nation Joburg for 20 years. He's been leading the region. How long have you been reading this? About the same for 20 years. So he's a seasoned, knowledgeable minister of the gospel. He has a fantastic wife, Nicola, and two amazing sons who serve the Lord passionately. And he is a friend and mentor to so many of us. So welcome, Pastor Roger.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Carol. Thank you for that warm welcome. I want to thank and honor this morning. I want to thank you, Raimsich, for all that you bring to the kingdom. All that you bring to Every Nation Joburg and Every Nation Southern Africa. And I want to honor your leader, one specifically, Pastor Carol. I don't know if you know this, but recently, last couple of months, we've asked her to lead our schools. So it's our School of Church Planting, School of Campus Ministry, Youth Ministry, on it goes. And that's for the whole of Southern Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Eswatini, Lesotho, Mozambique, up to Mauritius. And Carol, thank you for taking that role for Southern Africa. What a blessing she is and what a blessing you are. I want to give you the 10 best Christian pickup lines. Some of you take notes, okay? Now I know why Solomon had 700 wives, because he'd never met you. Second, so here's the question. How many times do I have to walk around you to get you to fall for me? If you know where this is in the Bible, then just shout back at me, okay? Third, you know how the word says to think about things that are pure and lovely and excellent? I've been thinking about you all day long. Where's that in the Bible? Philippians. Number four. So in my devotion time today, I was reading the book of Numbers, and I had a revelation. I don't have yours. Is your name Grace because you are amazing? Oh, no, it's not. It must be Faith because you are the substance of what I've been hoping for. Huh? Number six. I wish I'd heard these. Nicola gave me a hard time. I wish I'd knew these. So. Number six. I really believe God has called you. Can I call you too? What's your number? Number seven is very short. I would say God bless you, but it's obvious He already has. Number eight. I think we need an altar call for repentance tonight because you have stolen my heart. Okay, number nine for the Calvinists. I didn't believe in predestination until I met you tonight. Okay, and the last one is straight out of Song of Songs, chapter 4. Hey girl, your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from washing. Each one has a twin. Not one of them is missing. I suggest you don't try that. That's cultural context. We're in our Finding Freedom series, 10 Commandments. Dr. Elton Trueblood says this: the 10 Commandments are the foundation for a free and just society, to live righteously relating to God and others. And it's in this context that we look at the 9th commandment. And the imperative remains for us to have healthy relationships with one another. We've got to uphold, we've got to live, we've got to take hold of this commandment. Nothing destroys like lies. When somebody lies, the very fabric of the relationship is broken. There's nothing to build upon. You don't know what's right or wrong. You don't know what you can rely upon. You don't know what's reliable and unreliable, and it destroys trust. Everyone has the right to truthfulness. It's a basic requirement for society. So there's never a time when we can just say, well, it's just words. What I say, what you say matters. So the title of the sermon is How to Hold to the Truth. So this is the Sermon on the Mouth. And it's the truth about lying. Exodus 20 verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. How many of you are in the teaching profession here? Okay, a couple of teachers. I'm sure you've experienced this, or maybe you were that parent. But as a teacher, you've experienced this where there's a child who's lying blatantly. And their parents completely believe them. And they say to you, my child never lies, they always tell the truth. So a very diplomatic teacher sent this letter back to the parents and said this, if you promise not to believe all that your child says happened at school, I'll promise not to believe all that they say happens at home. I want to describe to you the world's greatest liar, arguably. No, we're not talking about Satan. His name is Jacob, and his name literally means heel grabber or deceiver. How would you like that as a name? Like you start off badly. They call you liar as you're born. His mother, Rebecca, eggs him on to lie and cheat and steal and deceive his father and pretend to be his brother Esau and so receive the blessing. So he's taught lies by his mother. And he sows lies and lies and lies. Eventually it catches up with him. He falls in love. He meets a girl. He's desperate to marry her. But as we know, what we sow, we reap. So he thinks he's marrying this girl, and what with load shedding and alcohol, the wedding night happens and he wakes up and lo and behold, it's not the woman of his dreams. Big surprise. It's not Rachel, but it's Leah. And so he has to work another 7 years for Leah. He had lied so much, and now his father Laban is lying to him. And his father changes his wages multiple times. And he passes this malady, this sickness, onto his family. Rachel becomes a liar. When her father comes after her, says, did you steal the family gods? Which she shouldn't have had family gods anyway. She lies. And the sons of Jacob become liars when they sell their brother into slavery. Jacob finally faces an incredible crunch moment. He can't go back to Laban. He's heading back to the promised land, back to the homeland, and his brother's coming for him with 400 men. It's like a real hero. He sends women and children first. And he remains at this brook where he comes face to face with God. He wrestles with God, or maybe God wrestles with him. And God says to him, what is your name? And in essence, he's saying, who are you? Will you own your stuff? He wrestles with God, and his name is changed from liar Jacob to prince. The sermon that we're about to go into ends really well. Okay, it ends really well. It ends like the story of Jacob. But before we got there, we've got to wrestle with God. We've got to wrestle with his word. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your speech, your words have the power to build your life, your friendships, your marriage, your family, your company, your church, your community. Or, alternatively, it's got the power to destroy hearts and relationships and churches and companies and leave devastation. Nothing destroys trust like lies. Nothing builds trust like the truth. So what is lying? It includes gossip, slander, misleading, exaggeration, diminishing, dismissing, flattery, hiding, or self-serving biases. It's coloring in the truth with a self-serving agenda. You want something. So you deceive people in order to get something or in order to avoid something. Lying is deception with a self-serving agenda. But it's not just an event. Lying perpetuates, it becomes a state of mind. I'm sure you've met people who are chronic liars. Okay, don't call out names. Okay? And you never know whether what they're telling you is the truth. And eventually they create their own imaginary world. They start to believe their own lies. And they start to live a lie. And they live in a world that is being created by themselves. In the world of psychiatry, there's a significant portion of people who are in psychiatric institutions. Now, not all of them, but a significant portion, who suffer from this trifecta of maladies. The one is they lie, and they lie to themselves, they lie to people and to themselves. Secondly, they are arrogant, so they're not willing to receive from anybody else. And then lastly, they're resentful because the world doesn't work the way they thought it did in their own head. Joy Davidman says, the biggest lies are those we tell ourselves about ourselves. And Jeremiah 17 says, we are easily deceived. The famous Christian mystic, Russian mystic Dostoevsky said this, above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to such a pass that he cannot distinguish the truth within him or around him. And so he loses all respect for himself and for others. And having no respect, he ceases to love. And having no love, he gives himself up to passions and coarse pleasures in order to occupy and amuse himself. And in his vices reaches complete bestiality, he's like animal-like. And it all comes from lying continually to others and himself. To speak a lie is to speak against God, as God defines reality. To speak a lie means that we invent our own reality. We invent an alternative morality that revolves around ourselves. And eventually we can't tell what is truthful. And when that happens, we've got nothing to stand on. If you speak the truth, you don't have to always remember what you said, right? But once you start telling lies, man, you need a fancy notebook database to keep track of what you said to who and when. We live in truth when we desire to live in God's reality over our own. And this is true reality. When we are pursuing truth, it's not just abstractions. The truth of God is rooted in Jesus. And Jesus describes reality. And whatever God says about himself or about us is true because God is the most accurate one to describe what is right and true. And so when we break this command, when we put ourselves above this command, we are placing ourselves above God, and we start to move on to breaking command 1 and 2, whereby we start to determine truth and come against God. Some of the most current psychiatric research shows that the body, the soul, and the spirit is far more integrated than they ever realized. So there's a massive problem when what you think is different to what you say, is different to what you do, and what different to what you feel. What happens is you're no longer integrated, and you start to disintegrate. The spirit world is powerful. And our words carry spiritual power. And they affect us to the point of physicality. They affect our bodies. So as we lie and as we continue in lies, we disintegrate. I want to look at 3 specific things that God's word instructs us in the era of lying. And these are vital if you're to build community. And I know you want to build this amazing church. In James chapter 3, verse 5, it says that the tongue, the very small, can do enormous damage. And now, for the last 2,000 years, and through billions of examples, we see the damage or the blessing that the tongue can bring. Okay, so the three things that I'm going to speak about is gossip, slander, and flattery. You know what gossip is? Gossip is hearing something you like about somebody that you don't like. I'll say that again. Gossip is hearing something that you like about someone that you don't like. It's the speedy transmission of near factual information. It isn't just what comes in one ear and goes out the other. It comes into the head and gets all mixed up. And then it comes out. You know when people say to you, you know, I probably shouldn't tell you this. We should respond and say, you better not tell me it then. Why do we say, come on. Okay, tell me. My name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, headaches, and indigestion. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip. Slander. Slander is malicious untruth with the intention of causing harm. And it's anonymous. And it's unaccountable. When you're trying to discredit someone, when you're saying something about them. Have you ever heard this? He's a great person, but. She's really nice, but. But what? There's this word called insinuation where you just give people enough to come to their own conclusions. Where you lead people, you provide the building blocks to them. You never quite said it exactly, but you say enough that it's irreversible what they're going to come to. Shakespeare's play Othello is about a jealous husband who listens and he believes slander about his wife, that she's unfaithful. In a murderous rage, he murders his own wife, learning afterwards that the rumors were all lies. How many times have you made a mistake when you've acted on lies, when you've acted on slander, when you've heard whispers about people and your heart changes and your action changes and you perpetuate it? Slander kills all three people involved. Kills the one who talks, kills the one who listens, and it kills the one that they're speaking about. Thirdly, flattery. Flattery is insincere praise. It's saying nice things, but you don't mean it. Flattery is saying something publicly that you wouldn't say about them behind their back. You say it to them publicly, but you wouldn't say it behind their back. Flattery is an artificial sweetener. Okay, there's nothing in it. If you receive flattery, it gets you nowhere. Proverbs 26 verse 28 says, flattering words cause ruin. So why do we say things that we don't mean? Why do we flatter people? Because we want something from them. We want to get them to like us. We want them get them to do something. Now I want to give you three principles to navigate with. Navigate lying. Navigate flattery. Navigate slander. Navigate gossip. And the first principle is, I need to examine my own heart. Matthew 12:34 says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Another translation, what's in the heart comes out the mouth. So it's not just control your tongue, it's actually deal with your heart. Our words reveal who we are. And you're like, well, I didn't really mean it, or that's not me. No, it was you. You did say it. What's in the heart comes out the mouth. And while you continue to not own it, God's grace and God's change can't come. Have you heard of the BSE problem? BSE, it's a widespread disease. BSE stands for blame somebody else. Do you suffer from BSE? It began in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they were blaming somebody else. Remember the story. And it's affected every human since then. We don't want to take responsibility for the things that we've said. And so we blame somebody else. What's the main reason that we lie? Either we're afraid, or we want something and we want to accelerate it or get it illegitimately. And we're willing to lie to get it. So first and foremost, in order to deal with what comes out your mouth, you've got to deal with the heart. Second principle, refuse to play pass the parcel. Remember that nice kiddies game? There's like a present wrapped up, and while the music's playing, you have to pass it around. And if the music stops, you get to open it. When we don't gossip, when we don't slander, the parcel stops moving. And we come into a healthy place as a community. When we don't destroy people's lives with our words, when we don't whisper about people, when we stop, where it stops with us, just it's a complete game changer. Now, somebody taught me this in marriage. It applies everywhere. Okay, this is a quick marriage counseling point. It's only an argument when the second person speaks. Did you know that? It only becomes an argument when the second person speaks. Likewise, it's only gossip or slander when you repeat what the first person said. Honesty means that everything we say must be true. Not that everything that is true must be said. It's not that the ninth commandment is about censorship. It's not that. But it's about building community. And it's about building trust. And there are situations where it's vital and imperative that we speak and address issues of injustice and unrighteousness. But we're not talking about perpetuating character assassination. Principle 3, we speak the truth in love. And ask this question before you speak. Is it true? Will it do any good to say it? All right, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say this. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. But don't say it mean. One more time. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. But don't say it mean. The fabric of all healthy relationships is woven in truth. Whereas lying breaks this trust and destroys our relationships. The reason that truth is so important to God, because God is truth. Titus 1 verse 2, God does not lie. And Jesus is truth. And his words are truth. And he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth about God. It's fascinating to read what Jesus said about the devil. He's challenging the Jewish people. And he said, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus makes the point, the devil doesn't only speak lies, but he creates a whole environment of lies. He perpetuates lies. He spreads lies. And the devil's other name is Satan, which means the accuser. And he comes against you with lies to cause fear, to cause anxiety, to speak things about your own soul. But God's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. When we speak the truth, when we say the truth, we align ourselves with God and we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. When we lie, we align ourselves with the devil. So we get to decide who we align with. But this gets better. John 8 verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You've heard this expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? It's not true. It's not just a nursery rhyme. It's a nursery crime. Words hurt. Arguably, the body heals faster than the soul does. Words break spirits and break souls. The fact is, many of us have been told lies. And when we look at a distorted mirror because of the lies that we've received, we have a distorted image of ourselves. And with false information, we arrive at false conclusions. And Jesus wants to set us free. Now, there was a woman who was seeing a Christian psychiatrist, and it was just months and months of counseling, and they didn't seem to be getting breakthrough. And then finally, it came to a moment in her childhood, and she said she remembers this. The teacher of the class just had it in for her, just disliked her immensely, and so called her up in front of the class, and she was a young child at primary school, gave her a piece of chalk and said to her, write on the board, I am a failure. With tears, she's conveyed the story and she wrote this, and then the teacher called other people up, the whole class, and they had to write on the board what they felt about this girl. Now the counselor, the psychiatrist, was a Christian. And he had a Christian perspective on this. And he said to her, I know somebody else was in the classroom that day. And while everybody was writing on the blackboard, there was somebody else there. And his name is Jesus. And he got up after everybody had written. And he got up and he didn't pick up a piece of chalk, but he picked up an eraser. And he erased everything that had been written on that board. Then he picked up a piece of chalk and he wrote on the blackboard, I love you. Jesus didn't come into this world to rub it in. He didn't. Jesus came into this world to rub it out. And whether the stuff on the board is true or not true or half truth, Jesus wants to wipe it clean. This is why Christianity is such good news. For our hearts, for our lives, for our marriages, for our communities, for our church. Towards the end of Jesus' life, he became a victim of the Pharisees breaking this ninth commandment. The chief priests accused Jesus of things he had never done. Pilate asked him, are you going to answer? You're going to answer these words? See how many things they're accusing you of. And Jesus didn't answer. And Pilate was amazed that he gave no defense of himself. John 18 verse 37, Jesus said, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And on the cross, while Jesus was dying on the cross, he paid the price for all of my lies and for all of your lies. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are offered forgiveness and transformation and reconciliation. What does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who's examined his heart. He or she has examined his heart and said, it is deceitful, but I believe in Jesus and I invite Jesus into my life. And I ask, forgive me, Jesus. Wash me, cleanse me, empower me. That's the truth. Some of you are living and believing lies about yourself. And it's bound you. And maybe it's bound you for years. And you need to be set free. Some of you have been perpetuating lies. And you need to repent. And you need to be transformed. The beginning of honesty is the confession of dishonesty. So how do we respond? Do you need to meet the truth? Jesus is the truth. And he's been waiting for you. He's been waiting for me. Do you need to come to Jesus for cleansing? Cleansing from gossip, slander, flattery? Do you have a loose tongue? Or do you need to be set free from the lies that have been spoken over you and told about you? Do you need to be healed from the words that have held you back, that have bound you? Whichever one it is, whether it's your lies or the painful lies about you, respond. Receive the grace and the mercy of God. Let's pray together. Jesus, speak to every heart now. Lord, where we are carrying lies in our hearts about ourselves, Father, I pray for a path of healing and restoration. And even now, by your Spirit, speak your love, speak your mercy, speak identity, Lord God. Where your son carries lies, where your daughter carries lies. Lord, where we have broken this command, where we have lied and brought destruction on relationships, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us. Jesus, we know this is why you came, to pay the price for our dreadful sins. Just bring your heart before the Lord now. It starts in the heart. Ask God to show you where you're carrying lies. Ask God to show you where you are habitually lying, bending the truth. Just with every head bowed. If you know you're far from God, maybe you served him at one stage, but you've turned away circumstances, or perhaps you've never surrendered your life. You've been living a lie. God's word to you is not one of condemnation. It's not one of rubbing it in. He wants to rub out your sins and speak his love to you. The word of God says that if you confess me, talking about Jesus, before men, I will confess you before the Father. And so receiving Jesus it's meant to be a public act where we say, I choose Jesus. So if that's you today, you want the forgiveness, the mercy, the cleansing of God. You want to come home. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to pray for you this morning. More importantly, God is calling you home. If that's you, why don't you lift up your hand? Decisive act. I want Jesus. Just lift your hand up high. Is anybody here this morning? Father, I pray for my sister. I pray you would touch her life. I pray from this day she would be added into family. Lord, as she lifts up her hand and she confesses her sin and her need for you, I pray, Holy Spirit, come upon her. And as we talk to her later, Lord God, let revelation and truth and wholeness come. In Jesus' name.